Morning, everyone. I'd like to call the November 4th meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the clerk please take the roll?
Sure.
Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz? Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Here.
Legislator Lips? Legislator Nolan?
Here.
Legislator Stewart?
Here. Great. I'd like to call for the approval of the October 1st meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the October 1st meeting?
Just had Chair Lips, I wanted to see if you have
a question. Thank you. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved. Let's go over the proposed 2025 budget and 2025 to 2023 capital program discussion with Deputy Director Europa McGovern. Would you like to come to the table? Thank you.
Am I the only department for that? Well, nice to see everyone. Thanks for having me.
You too.
I'll just keep my summary short, I guess, so we can go from there. So basically our budget, we'll propose budget for 2025, is going to continue to support the various initiatives and projects, and core focus areas of our department. That includes kind of generally sustainability and climate action planning, both for county government and then some of the programs and initiatives we support as well for the broader community, so inward and outward facing. Also, electrification, both for the county's infrastructure and fleet as well, and that includes EV charging stations on county facilities and then planning for future build-out, both, again, for public as well as fleet charging. Programs related to water quality more broadly, including the county's compliance with New York State DEC regulations under the MS4 Stormwater Program, facilitating the Water Quality Coordinating Committee, and again, supporting other projects, including, and we'll talk about it, but the professional services funding line supporting more broadly watershed coordination across the county. So major changes, well, I guess I'll just go through it really briefly, starting with revenues from the first page. The main changes with revenue would be that we've now, with additional capacity in the DPW, we propose moving on the revenue line as well as an expense line for related to hosting the public EV charging station network on county facilities. So right now that's primarily charge point, and the revenues and the expenses are about balanced out for that. So we have to pay for a cloud plan, you know, networking to be on the public network so the public can use it. And then we collect revenues from the public when they're plugging in to charge their cars at county charging stations. So again, that's both of those lines are moving over to DPW. That makes sense.
Is that the mobile one that's on Albany Avenue?
Albany Avenue.
One that was released recently.
That is on the ChargePoint network, so that also will be, yes, on that. Yes, part of that. I think it's about upwards of three dozen plugs that the county has under the ChargePoint network. And then recently, Livingston is a second network that we're also expanding, and that's at additional facilities, including Development Court and Probation, the Restorative Justice Center. So next year, when we talk this time at the budget, you'll probably see a line item or in DPW's budget related to Livingston as well as George. So,
great.
It's probably too much detail. But and then as far as other revenues, we just removed, you know, all of the grant-funded projects last year that are wrapping up have come off the 2025 budget. There's other potential grant applications, you know, that may be announced in December or in 2025, and so those will be reflected in budget amendments, you know, as they're awarded and contracted. And the projects that are wrapping up include the NYSERDA-funded on-site energy manager project that was going the last couple of years. That was a big project. The federal Department of Energy block grant allocation that went to the purchase of that Beam EV ARC equipment, the public charger with the solar panel that you've seen at Development Court. So that purchase was made this year. And then we had a road stream crossing assessments project that wrapped up this year as well that was funded by New EPIC. So all those revenue lines are going away, and hopefully there'll be more added. As far as expenses, so for pay, one of the major changes was that the NYSERDA-funded Climate Justice Fellow is moving into our department. They're already primarily housed there, but they will be moving into our budget. And their role is sort of similar to some of the other environmental outreach roles that we've previously had in our department. And one thing that they'll be focusing on is more residential outreach programs, including the Better Home for All. And then everything else as far as, you know, let's see, I'm not going to get into program supplies because all of that is pretty much the same year over year from 2024 to 25. So I just want to jump to the professional services, which is on page 3. So basically, the big line item is the additional $100,000 for the, it says the SOPA stream management support. But really, the overall goal would be that it's a $100,000 expenditure that would be via contract with the Soil and Water Conservation District to support staff, and that it's being proposed as a watersheds coordinator position housed in Soil and Water in the district, and they would basically be spending half of their time specifically coordinating lower SOPAs implementation projects. So therefore 50% of their position would be reimbursable. So we, the county, would be getting reimbursed 50,000 of that potentially from the lower SOPAs implementation fund, which is going to be facilitated by the or administered by the Hudson River Foundation. So again, that'll be theoretically 50% reimbursable. So the half of the position would be focusing on the lower SOPAs watershed, and then the other half of their time would be in the other non-New York City watersheds, including the Wallkill and the Rondo. So that would, again, it's not directly a county position. Rather, it's supporting the Soil Water Conservation District staff
great.
In that coordination. And then we're continuing our Hudson 7 membership. I think that's for 3 years, so we'll be entering the second year of the $25,000 annual membership. There's additional water quality management agency support, and again, I think that'll tie into this work of the watersheds coordinator as projects are identified that could potentially be funded by that line.
Would you like us to ask questions as you're on the item or come back at the end?
I think probably we're getting to a point where it'd be good to ask questions as we go. Yes.
First of all, I am just, well, thank you for coming, and I'm just so thrilled that we have a water coordinator. This is something I've been working on for like 2 years at this point. So I'm thrilled that it's, you know, that it's in the budget and with your department and also with Soil and Water. So I'm just totally excited about that. I was a little curious as to funds that would be available for some of those specific projects that are outlined in the Lower Estrofa Stream Management Plan. Like where do we see allocations for that?
Well, I mean, I think what I would say is I was kind of getting into that with this mm-hmm. water quality management agency technical support. I think to some extent that $35,000 could potentially be used to support these type of implementation projects, whether it's lower SOPAs or beyond.
Right.
I think that's part of the having the capacity in the Soil and Water Conservation District via that new staff position that they would be housing would help identify opportunities to, you know, where the county could be most helpful in supporting implementation. I think that, again, the way it's shaking out as far as the lower SOPAs implementation fund is that there would be proposed a minimum 20% local cost share for any projects that are, you know, propose basically any applicants that are submitting to implement any of the projects in the lower SOPAs stream management plan, right? And so 20% would be the local cost share, and then 80% of any project could potentially be funded through the lower SOPAs implementation fund. So thinking about potentially, I don't know honestly how what it could look like, but maybe it could be that 20% supporting that 20% local cost share for a county priority project, for example.
So say for example that we wanted to spend money on riparian buffers mm-hmm. Along the Esopus in Hurley. So is that something that we approach the Hudson River Foundation for? Is that something? Oh,
I see Amanda.
Yeah. I see Amanda's hand like above their head. So
I can't see you.
So I think when it comes to that, the Lower Esopus Stream Management Plan Implementation Fund,
mm-hmm.
it's important to remember that the Hudson River Foundation is the fiduciary.
Yes.
So different we will be applying to that to help offset the salary for the coordinator.
Right.
You know, however, other towns will be able to apply directly to the Hudson River Foundation as well. So that will be...
So for example, the town of Marbletown or the town of Hurley could apply directly to the Hudson River Foundation.
Right.
Legislator Nolan?
And will you guys assist in that process or how does that work or is that still being kind of figured out?
I would say to that part, it's still being figured out.
So,
Legislator Nolan?
I'd like to help here. As part of my role with the liaison to the Soil and Water Conservation District, I've uh-huh. seen the draft for the job description for this coordinator position, and that position includes qualifications for grant writing. So it will be a function of that person to obtain funding for implementation projects, especially in the Lower Esopus, but I think around the county, as I understand the position is being conceived.
But with the caveat that those funds don't necessarily need to come through or be administered.
Yeah, correct.
You know, helping the municipality to obtain.
Sure. Correct. Cool. Just as the Soil and Water Conservation District helps.
Yeah.
And when you said there's the potential for funding, how strong is the potential?
True. Well, I think that this whole funding, this line was really crafted, right, with the intent that it would be reimbursable, 50% reimbursable.
Very strong.
Yes. The Lower Esopus Advisory Council has been coordinating closely with the Hudson River Foundation. So, yes.
Okay.
They're aware of
it. Legislator Green?
Can I move on to another budget-related topic?
Let's go for it.
We have a lot of attention to water, and we have an agency that manages waste, and I believe the coordination is improving. But we have a major climate crisis, and I'm still wondering where we're going to get the resources to, there are resources for the county, buildings and properties. Well, the municipalities and the county need help. The on-site energy coordinator grant that NYSERDA has available, it doesn't look to me like it's really geared for municipalities, and if it is used by municipalities, it would focus on their own buildings and grounds. On site is what that refers to, and not on a program that would implement, for example, the planning that is going on with the solar mapping training and the need to work with the utilities to actually implement renewable energy with storage and efficiency. And I've been told that there will be a deputy hired in the department and that they will focus on energy, but I've been told that privately and I want to bring it up to the committee and get clarity.
Great. Would you like to finish the presentation and then we'll take a lot of questions that are more general?
Sure. I just want to, and then I will start to address perhaps some of your, where you're getting Legislator Green. But just the last item under the professional services is the additional funding for $140,000. That kind of ties into that NYSERDA funded climate outreach fellow, climate justice fellow. That program is potentially tied to the Better Homes for All implementation and may focus on heat pump conversion in manufactured homes. So
that's the climate justice fellow?
Yes. Yes. So that $140,000 ties specifically to residential incentive programs. Then moving on to the miscellaneous contractual expenses. the big one here is the $100,000 allocated towards climate outreach, and then under that is the community, the acronym CAP is Community Climate Action Plan. So basically, together it's $105,000 proposed to support climate community, climate action plan, and climate implementation and climate outreach more generally. So again, speaking to Legislator Green's point earlier, I think that we are in the final stages. I'll just say that we're in the final stages of our community climate action plan initiatives prioritization and development. So basically, we're going to go into 2025 with a locally, I don't know if it's going to be formally adopted, but a locally accepted community climate action plan that was funded by a grant this year. We've narrowed the list down to something like 15 priority initiatives under the community climate action plan that the county government can prioritize to support greenhouse gas emissions at the community scale. And a couple of those actions, for example, one is related to mapping priority sites for renewable energy development countywide. Another one would be another planning initiative would be or is proposed as mapping EV charging stations, again, public and fleet locations countywide. And again, we're not, both of these are not, the first focus, of course, would be county facilities, because that's what we directly have control over. And then the kind of radiating out from that, both projects, planning projects, would also include looking at, non-county owned, more, just the broader public sites.
Great.
Countywide. So again, I think that that's, those are just examples of two of those 15 initiatives that we, our department and the county, can support in 2025 with that community climate action plan.
Great. Does that start to answer your question about the energy hire? Because my question was going to be about your department's workload, your vacancies, and anyone you're expecting to bring on this year.
Okay.
How is your workload?
Well, we've had a bit of a musical chairs in 2024 with several staff positions moving around the county or moving on. But we have backfilled for the environmental resource technician vacancy, and we hope to be backfilling for the deputy vacancy soon in the coming months. So hopefully going into 2025 fully staffed.
Thank you.
So more manageable workload, therefore.
Okay. I'm wondering how focused your department is on the 70 by 30 goals of reaching 70% renewable by 2030, and if you think we're on track.
So that's part of what we do, our department, for years, long before the Climate Act was adopted. One of our core focuses is the data tracking and analysis. So we submit three annual reports related to that. And again, it ties into Executive Metzger's Executive Order 1, right, which kind of mirrors those Climate Act goals. And the 70 by 30 being one of them. And so, we report on the county's progress on county facilities year to year. And again, we're generally hitting our targets. We also have fleet electrification goals, and we publish a green fleet annual report in addition to the building energy benchmarking report and the greenhouse gas emissions inventory for government operations report. So, between all three of those, I think I can't speak to the exact numbers off the top of my head now, but we're, tracking progress year to year.
Wonderful. Was there any requests that were not included in the proposed budget that you made? Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
I don't think there were, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Legislator Stewart?
I had a question. This is something that you brought to my attention via email earlier, and that is about the funding for the composting toilets along the trail network. Amanda, are you familiar with what happened to that?
It was removed from the budget in 2025.
Wasn't a vendor that was able to perform that study. And again, also there were some, if you recall, there was a vendor who was not willing to participate in the county's contractual requirements in order to do the study.
And this is the vendor that the city of Kingston uses?
It was identified, I thought, by the legislature.
Yes, we had a scope of work and even got so far as a draft contract, I think, but unfortunately they pulled out at some point due to limited capacity on their end.
Okay. So I guess we can discuss this further without everyone taking up everyone else's time, but okay. So thank you.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, I continue to feel like we're doing a lot of data tracking and not a lot of implementation. And it's very frustrating. Maybe there's a way offline, not in the middle of a meeting, to brainstorm how we can actually get, in particular, the renewable energy infrastructure in place. I think one very good project is the Government Operations Center, and we're actually meeting with MUPOLF and some of the key folks that have been working on that in MUPOLF are going to meet with Central Hudson and see if there's a way to address the grid interconnection issues. But to me, that feels like a big missing. It feels like what we're doing is tracking our way to disaster. And I hate to be that negative, but I am very deeply concerned about the climate crisis and the rate at which and the manner in which we're addressing it. So it's just a comment. I'm not sure how we can improve, but I felt that it was necessary to say that. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah. I think that the data that the Department of Environment at Ulster County is tracking is the implementation. We have very far-reaching goals for the county. And the data that we're tracking is whether or not we're on target. And we just heard a report back that we are on target. We have, we're tracking the data about our fleet, for example. So I think to phrase it that way is to really overstate and not acknowledge what Ulster County is doing. The impulse that I hear that I think is worth lifting up is how do we get beyond the county's county-owned sites and equipment? And I've heard your push for that, and I think that's legitimate. It's harder because it's not the traditional role of a county government to intersect as much as we already do with private and even municipal efforts. So I think we need to acknowledge the constraints and as we're asking for additional brainstorming, additional resources when that's needed. But it can undermine the enthusiasm to do the work if we're really doing that work as we are as a county and putting a lot of money and time towards it. And then for that not to be characterized as, that's a trivial exercise in county, it's far beyond that in my view.
Thank you.
I'm happy to join shoulders in pushing for what else we can do.
Count me in.
Can I just speak to, I realize that also because, of course, we're here primarily to discuss the proposed budget for 2025. For me, it came to mind to Legislator Nolan's point about we, meaning the county government, is continuing to implement, right? And that the data and reports that I was referring to are really documenting those success and the progress over time in the county and achieving its own goals for government operations. And, for example, another thing that, again, isn't even reflected in this budget is the multitude of grants and incentives that our department is coordinating closely with DPW and other departments constantly on a rolling basis. For example, we were just awarded a $300,000 NYSERDA grant through the Clean Energy Communities Program that's going to support rooftop solar next year at Trudy Resnick, as well as a community charging hub with DC fast chargers out there in the public charging desert that it is out in Ellenville. We are already saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in contracted costs at multiple sites for the EV charging station build out. Again, at county facilities through Central Hudson's Make Ready program that our EV charging station vendor is actually applying for directly on the county's behalf to save us the contracted cost and the administrative burden. So that's kind of a really successful model. Again, hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're not even paying for in contracted costs because Central Hudson is paying our vendor directly. And then the federal IRA direct pay incentives. For example, the county just applied for, I think it was 23 qualifying plug-in hybrid and fully electric fleet vehicles that the county purchased in 2023, up to a $7,500 federal rebate each. And again, that's something that, you know, we'll continue doing for the next 8 years that those are available. So again, no, those are all very much in the house. You know, this is in our wheelhouse. This is what we in the Department of the Environment and other departments could actually implement ourselves. But again, a lot of these incentives are more, especially the federal IRA, are broad, you know, more broadly available and potentially through other outreach, you know, programs and things that we could start to, there's opportunities to start to make the public more aware of some of these opportunities to implement.
Great.
One follow-up. I see the some of the staffing that shifting, you know, senior environmental planner, the adult group of role and so forth. And we've been talked about hiring an environmental communication person. Is that part of the picture?
Environmental outreach manager.
Yes,
I think that there's part of the proposal is that the climate justice fellow position would be funded again. So it was funded through the first half of 2025, and then potentially that the incumbent or someone else would then be pivoted to the climate justice or climate outreach coordinator position, right? And then there would be a second, you know, again, another climate justice fellow coming in to fill the shoes. So that, again, would be potentially bolstering staff's supporting community outreach programs.
Excellent. Thank you.
Anything else to add before we wrap up? Anyone have any additional questions? Okay, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you. On your way.
And now we'll move on to a presentation by Greenway Environmental Services with Shabazz Jackson and Stephanie Papanyu.
Josephine, sorry.
Good to see you. Actually, I know you, but it says Stephanie here. Sorry.
We have a presentation that it gets put up on here. And we try to cover three topics pretty briefly. One is an update of the Hurley project. One is kind of an update on who you an update on the Garlic Festival. And the third piece is our vision of how we would like her. We would like to see this grow, and I think I'd be seeing it. Oh.
Everyone is agreeing.
He's working.
Oh. I was like, we're missing this. I'm like. I also want to take a quick second to, maybe you know, most of you know Cindy Saffarito, who has worked side by side with us with the Garlic Festival. She's been a longtime member of the Kiwanis Club. And some stuff I never knew about the Kiwanis Club was that they are extremely generous to the community. Their focus worldwide is on children, young people, and communities, but particularly young people. And if you came to their festival, you saw that they have an army of young people. And Amanda actually added to that army this year, right? They had a good time, right? Yeah, they did, I have to say.
Legislator Litz is always very proud to be there, too.
Oh, my God. And leaves with that big old boat of a car full of bread for his animals.
Oh, nice.
You know, yeah. He said, come back tomorrow for the hay. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, while we're waiting for the setup, you inspired us with your last presentation, Cindy, about the plastics and the issues with the straws.
Right.
So we're up,
Mr. Obala?
Yeah, we're updating, we're trying to update the plastics law, updating the polystyrene law. And you helped inspire that with your presentation. We're hoping to address clamshells, but we're going to take no action tonight. But I would like to talk to Shabazz and Josephine about the list that you had at the Garlic Festival for their vendors, because we're hoping to start inspiring food service people to be using those products.
Well, you have to be really careful when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not straightforward.
Yeah, good. Can't wait to work with you on that.
Yeah, we would like that. I mean, you need a home for them. And Cindy will tell you how many times I've said, when you have anything that you want to do with food waste, particularly bringing in compostables, and I know you know this too, that you have to make sure you start backwards. You go to where it's going to go, and you find out from them, yes, I can take this. And UCRA takes different things than we take. So maybe someday we really will be on the same page that
you don't take mine.
You don't.
In the compostable.
Right, right. But we have really honed ours down, actually getting into the formulas, because there's so many bad actors out there that they would take recycled material, which we know is most likely plastic, and they coat it with PLA. And PLA is great, you know. So we finally kind of drilled down on that. And that list has been really pretty vetted. So if you're looking to move forward with that, you definitely should talk to us, because you need a home for it.
But I think even in the landfill, the compostables are better, though.
That I don't know.
It is better, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not ideal. It's not the ideal situation, but it's better than the PETs and the rest in the landfill.
Okay. We're planning soon, so I'll reach out to you guys. We'll have a meeting soon.
We would like that. Thank you.
I'd like to encourage that we think about whether from that kind of meeting we could develop a policy about events that take place on Ulster County property, including the Ulster County Fair.
I was going to say that would be high on my priority list as well.
Yes.
I think the highest thing on my list, having learned what I've learned over the past years from Greenway and running that zero waste, is we really need more options for commercial composting.
Mm.
I only have one option to continue to run the Hudson Valley Garlic Festival the way we want, and that's for it to go to Greenway. There's no other option.
Yeah.
If they go out of business, we go back to square one. So we really need to improve things in this county on how we can truly compost.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to get to the presentation right after Legislator Green and potentially Legislator Nolan.
I want us to keep on our agenda as, and this may actually affect the budget, but the Ulster County Fair, we've been trying to improve the waste diversion. And there was a time where that fair diverted 70% of its waste. And there's a contract coming up. I think it's a 5-year contract, Mark, if you recall. Yeah. And I think there needs to be language in that contract that addresses several sustainability, but primarily getting that waste diversion done correctly. And so I just want to bookmark that.
Great.
Just a quick comment that at Olive Day this year, there was a vendor, I don't know if that vendor does anything near what Greenway is doing, but was available and is interested in trying to work in this space. So developing some additional capacity in the county is a good thing.
Great.
I have also reached out to Jeff Criswell and Sheriff Sperry of Economic Development about including language like you were mentioning in any contract that we have with the fair people. So
awesome. Okay, yeah. So we have a meeting right after
the Ag Society, yes.
At 4:30. So we'd like to get started.
Okay. reiterating just what I said, we're going to cover these three topics very briefly. We're going to not take up too much time, but we hope you have questions. Next, yeah. Thank you. You want to do Zoom with Carol?
Good.
Okay. We look at the project that the town of Raleigh has hired Greenway to do as really establishing a legacy. And what we had set out to do is to evaluate the households and to measure the solid waste on all levels. So we wanted to get 1% of the households as a reasonable sample of what happens in Hurley. And we were mindful about getting single family, two people in a family, three in a family. We've gotten up to five, which let me tell you, that's hard to find now. And what we found is that when the household, what we did is we actually went out and put composters in their backyard. We gave them scales, we gave them clipboards, gave them a little pep talk. And what we found is that when households separate their waste, they can easily make an 80% recovery of all their materials with no sweat, with no change in their lifestyle. And when these same households didn't separate their waste, you were down to 24%. Next slide, please. We also did a kind of a forensic cost-benefit analysis, and with thanks to Mark, who quickly returned any information that we asked for. And the bottom line is what we found is the transfer station, probably like most transfer stations in municipalities, is very profitable and is open, has the ability to do more with upgrades. I don't know, I'm not going to read through each piece, but you know, I know you can also get a copy of this this study that we did. Some of it is not included, such as the clothing recovery was not included. There was another one that I missed. What I was surprised is the cans and bottles, the deposit material, is bringing in about $14,000 a year just to the little town of Hurley by people just putting those in a special spot instead of throwing it into the recycling bins. Thanks. So our conclusions are that the demand for the transfer station services are going to increase, particularly as the cost of disposal increases. Mark is shaking his head. Yep. And again, the Resource Recovery Agency has informed the municipalities that there's going to be, or the county, that there is going to be significant increases to tipping fees. We know what happens with fuel. We know with everything. So that's going to really go up. And the existing workforce at the town of Hurley handles 1,500 tons of material a year. And that's without a piece of equipment, which is pretty remarkable. So our recommendation is that Hurley, like other towns, begin to prepare their sites for that increase in demand. And the handling of the food waste, once we are able to bring that to that site, is going to recover, it's going to require a piece of equipment. And that piece of equipment will also be very useful for all the other work they do. They high-grade metals. They do, it's an amazing site, the amount of detail they have put into that. Yes.
Are you able to share with us whether the town of Hurley says they will supply a backhoe, or is that?
We are right in the process of submitting a grant on their behalf.
Wow, okay.
And in that grant is going to be this used backhoe. I'd love to have a brand new one, but I'm trying to think what else is in that grant. Help me out here, Shabazz.
What about that machine that you have on your property that sorts, you feed the compost through?
Like a screener?
Yeah.
They won't need that.
No.
Just a backhoe so they can handle heavy equipment. At this point, we're not looking to actually compost on that site. I see down the road that could be a potential, but they're going to be able to accept food waste from Hurley residents and once a week bring it. They could bring it to Upwork. They have space. Bring it to us. It doesn't matter. We are not looking to, you know, oh, we want it all to come to us. That's not the point of this. There is so much food waste out there. There's enough for everyone. So, and that food waste would most likely not have any compostables in it. It would be just the household. It'd be nice and clean is what. So, so that's our plan for what we have recommended. We're actually, and I wish if anyone knew this, we're having the town of Hurley and us are having difficulty getting into this SFS, the State Financial Systems Grant. Mm-hmm. You know that?
I haven't heard that, but it's not super easy. So if Hurley
doesn't have a
setup already, then
they have a setup, and one of the prior supervisors has his favorite color. No one can figure out. To get, I'm not kidding. We tried everything, you know, coral. This has been set up for quite a while. Okay. So.
Well, it transferred over into a new system.
So. Right.
System, and we might be able to just our grant team who's in.
Could you help me with that? And I mean, I've been 2 weeks sitting next to Samara who works up there, and like. It's like we're pulling our hair, and I can't move on it until they give me the credentials to move. So
let's go.
Okay. Wait a minute. Mana has a question.
Are you finished at the end of recommendations?
Yes. Well, yeah, there. Yes.
My question is about the non-organic materials that ultimately could either be reused locally or go to a reuse innovation center. Is that part of the study?
Well,
it is. And the reason why we started with the organics is kind of obvious because they represent such a large portion. And then once you remove the organics, you can get at everything. But it's a zero waste study. So we're going to look at everything.
Right.
And we're going to increase the recovery of everything.
And I think it's important. The reason I bring it up, I think it's important to coordinate with the development of the Reuse Innovation Center that will be a spoke and hub program. And this is one of the spokes. So how much can be diverted at the town level? What equipment might be needed, a storage trailer or whatever, to have a place that people can bring reusables or repairables? And then any information that this pilot can add to that process would be helpful.
Okay. Well,
you know, let's move on.
Yeah, great. Yeah. We're going to hear more about that later in the Upper update.
But thank you for working with the town on that grant.
Well, we don't have it in yet. Yeah.
Is it a DEC?
It's a DEC grant, yeah. But I'm going to take Amanda up on that offer to help because it's been very, very frustrating.
Is that the feed steps or
something? That's the one you sent. That's what you sent. You said.
That's first come, first serve. So hopefully the team can reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You want to do the growing festival?
Sure.
Yeah. We're such a team.
How do you think we get those people, all of those people, to utilize our system?
Education.
Mm-hmm.
On-site. 100% on-site volunteers to tell them how to do it.
We have spent as much time with the social science of zero waste as we have with the technical side. You know, what to recover and how to manage it. So on the social side, we have designed our system for each location. And this is why for the town of Hurley, we look at the demographics, we look at the people that are going to we're going to serve, and then we design for them. Next slide. The key component is the pop-up transfer station, and that is really where the quality is put into the recovery system. So we are able to collect it and then maintain the collection through the quality of the collection through the entire process. Next slide. We utilized volunteers, and we did that for a couple of different reasons. One is the volunteers look like the people who come to the festival. So we were able to make a system where the people who come there saw themselves. And that was the link, and that was the key to the 100% participation rate, because that's what made it work. Everyone had to do something. They had to find those tents. They had to take direction. They had to respond in a way that allowed us to collect 100% of the waste and then recover 80 to 90%.
I want to note before you go, that middle slide, that's Amanda and her daughters. So I just wanted to...
Oh, and Kristen, who's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, right? Yep. Yeah, we had a great crew. Okay.
Okay. So when it comes to us, this is almost the easy part. We get a very clean waste stream. We get a waste stream that we have the cooperation of the vendors, we have the cooperation of the volunteers and the festival goers to create a material that we can easily process. So it comes in. We work through it with the excavator. We open up all the bags. Takes about 45 minutes. And then the next slide. We put it into a medium. And the medium is material that grows bacteria. And it quickly, within hours, brings it up to 150 degrees. At 150 degrees, the compostable plastics and the proteins dissolve. So this is a breakdown of the collection, and you can go 2002, 2003, 2004. And what I notice when I look at this is I notice the reduction in total amount of food waste. And, you know, I ask myself, well, why does that happen? I notice a consistency in the reduction, the total reduction of trash. So when we started there, the festival delivered 9 truckloads of trash to the Resource Recovery Agency. And we have consistently reduced it to 1 truckload. And other than that, you know, the numbers fluctuate, but it's that consistent amount of reduction that really is something that we would like to see moved to all of the festivals.
So can I just ask a question about that?
Go ahead.
You have that slide up there. Because go back if you would. The weight of the tonnage of trash did go up from 22 to 23 and 24.
Right.
So that's what that slide shows. But you're saying that the percentage, well, it actually, the percentage recovery was better? Because I don't see how that slide matches what you just said.
Here's how I looked at it. We reduced it from nine consistently from nine
truckloads
to one.
But
the weight of that depends on a variety of different things, right? So what we deal with is volume, and that's what's important.
So for the middle one,
it rained.
It poured.
People said, I had enough of this, and they threw away their whole booths.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, right? And the hay, right, that normally the farmers come and take, they didn't take.
Because
a lot of that came to us, and a lot of that went to the landfill. So you can't look at that, right, that particular number that closely, but you can look at the volume reduction. And the volume reduction is consistent year after year.
And you know, Kathy, it's funny, like, we keep learning. And this past year, because 2023 rained so hard, the hay is of no value to any animal feed. And we only had so much room in our food waste. We took what we could. It could be composted, but we were out of space. So a lot of that wet hay went in with the trash.
Mm.
And this year, you're not going to get us twice. I had an extra 30 yarder there just in case the hay got wet, which we never used. It went back empty. But because normally if the hay is dry, those farmers are lined up by Monday morning to get their hay, you know. So it is a little misleading, but that 2023 was horrible. The other thing, that little circle that nobody can read from here, but what that's basically saying is, we have identified, I'm sure you're going to find this in every kind of festival and event, that the lion's share of the trash is generated by the vendors, and it's at the end of the event. All they want to do is get out of there, and they're throwing everything in big plastic bags and putting it out. So Cindy and I are going to work for this year coming to set up a procedure and a process and an education that I call the vendor kitchens. Like, you're a vendor, you need to have a trash can, a recycling can, and your food waste can. And most of the stuff they throw out at that point could be recovered. So I believe that is going to have an enormous impact on the trash. We're going to see. But that was...
And also at the Ulster County Fair, our team of volunteers knew that was about to happen and would go and work with and help. So if you can get volunteers to work directly with the vendors, that might
help. Right. Well, we're going to, the next slide, and we're going to talk about.
First 2 years especially, to really focus on getting the vendors to be compliant with the material that they were serving, their serviceware.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot of work.
That's big. Yeah.
Now we're on to the next step, which is getting them compliant within their booth.
You're right. You know those vendors.
Amazing progress.
Those vendors actually stop us because we're out there the whole time working, and they say, you know, I do this festival and that festival. We wish you guys would do this for those festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the first year, they were not happy with us.
No.
They did not like us.
They resisted in every way.
Yeah. Year two and three. Okay. So. Yeah. This last piece of this is the expansion of Hudson Valley Zero Waste events.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that assembling labor is an enormous job for these festivals. And there's only so many volunteers available. And that's the reality of it. And what we see as the solution is we need to have, we as a county, as I say we need to have a group of zero waste trained workers. I said we should call them Zero Corps, you know, like AmeriCorps,
Climate Corps.
Climate Corps, you know, it's a good thing, right? And train the workers and pay the workers a minimum wage. So before everyone goes, how is that possible? Next slide. Thank you. I did a quick, what I call the labor math. And on this,
I looked at the Garlic Festival because I'm so close to it. I know it. And I said, let's say we have 11 collection tents and we have two people per coverage and there's 9 hours one day, 8 hours the next day. The long and short of it is that we're looking at $8,000 to pay those people a minimum wage. And I think, and I build in every time I do any kind of budget, I build in a little contingency. I think that I even built in what I called runners for each shift so that they could be available to do the running we would ask them to do.
Yeah.
Next slide. So basically, a real recap, we're saying that the expansion concept is volunteers are replaced with paid collection workers, and event organizers will be trained and able to set up these events. And I know we know how to do it. I know at this point Cindy knows how to do it. So the training of people is not that difficult at this point. We made a recommendation in this document that a good location, we felt, would be Cantine Field. Not married to that, although they have so many different kinds of events, and they've done the Zero Waste event successfully now 3 years. And so that would possibly be a real good training start. Funding the project would be something that would come through grants. And I know Europa was talking. Oh, she's still here. I thought you had looked at, I know Europa talked about potential climate grants and stuff. And, you know, collecting food waste definitely is on the checklist of improving the environment. Right? Yes.
Have you done the math on how much it would be to pay the trainers?
No, I have not. I have not. So next slide. The operation funding, the cost of disposal is predicted like trash to reach, say, $250 a ton over the next few years. The disposal of organic waste is $40 a ton. And I think that happens to be green waste price. I think aqua might be even lower, right, Mark?
20.
So I'm saying, right. You know, I think 40, if you budget in 40 a ton, you're really safe. The cost avoidance for disposal and the additional cost for the point of disposal collection are very well offset. And during full operation, we would recommend that the cost for these workers be paid through ticket sales, that kind of thing. Like, and I know that I mentioned this with the Kiwanis Club, and they don't like raising their ticket sales, and they're very reasonable. But when I did the quick numbers for theirs, it was, I think, 35 cents a ticket. You know, so I thought 50 cents a ticket would be like, so anyway, that was, so the next steps are stakeholders need to decide, and I say the stakeholders by the county, by the municipalities, who is going to take a lead in this? And then the lead would have to put together an RFP that is looking for an experienced entity that can make this design and get this program going. And the consultant would conduct the training, and then it would begin to roll. That's our final slide. It, I know, sounds like a big undertaking, but it is really doable. What we saw, what we could do with volunteers, and what we see that, you know, there are people who will work that. You can go to the schools, go to the groups of young people who have just gotten working papers, and they're going to work for minimum wage, especially a job that's fun. It doesn't look like fun, but it really is.
Looks like
fun. Amanda, help me out with this. It looks fun. You know.
I think it's a good experience to add to a resume.
Yeah. Yep. And someone else mentioned in one of these, and I think it was at the Qantas meeting, it may have been Beth, who deals with a lot of soup kitchens and stuff like that. And she said, look, there's a lot of adults who would welcome being able to supplement their income with these kind of things they could pick up. So I think we could find that, and I think we, I know we can. And that's where we get to, when we talk about the Ulster County Fair, you need an army of people. And I'll tell you, you cannot leave those collection tents for 1 minute. Because people have a thing where it's like, oh, it looks like garbage to me, and they just throw stuff.
It's, we have a team of 60 volunteers, not all at once. And we also charge the fair, charge the vendors a $25 a year recycling fee. So that was also some income to help offset the cost.
But 60 volunteers, Manna. For this last year, we had 89, 90. The first year we had 157 because we had it in three shifts. And but anyway, but you know, I'm saying volunteers are hard to get, and you need to really cover these things well, or people get tired. They don't want to do it.
We have about 5 more minutes until moving on. Anyone have additional questions?
I just want to say one group of volunteers was the Kingston Read and Write program. And the kids loved it, and they didn't do anything dangerous. You know, they were well supervised, and they got to ride on the rides after they did their shift. So I think there are some creative ways.
Nice. Yes, sir.
Legislative Stewart.
I was just wondering, and I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but how does the size of the Garlic Festival compare to the size of the county fair?
The Garlic Festival has been running about 30,000, I think, at a peak before COVID. They had some that were up to 50,000.
No, I don't think we've ever made it. Those numbers always get inflated. I would say the most we've ever had is 40,000 on a weekend.
That's pretty good, though.
So does anyone have an opinion of this approach? Because what we're talking about is the tourism is the second largest industry in Ulster County. And we're talking about a serious effort to turn that industry into a zero waste industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we are a zero waste county.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I wanted to compliment you on the clarity of the presentation and the content. This is very exciting. And I think that everything that we put towards this kind of initiative at a fair or event festival gets translated into people understanding how to do this in their homes better. So these two presentations really do complement each other, and I think it's reinforcing the difference in the cost to transport food waste out of the county as trash from actually using it or doing something with it here is substantial. And so we have to take note of these figures. I think we need to work with the UCRRA, and we have to wrap our heads around how we get your slide about implementation moving forward. So you've teed it up for us perfectly, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I'll definitely follow up. Like I said, I'm meeting with Director
Ryder. Excuse me, just real quick. I'm meeting with Director Ryder soon, and I'll be following up with you. I think the four of us at least should get together, and I'll invite the whole committee because I think it's a great conversation. Legislator Stewart.
As I say, if I could just add to that, we may want to include Legislator Sperry in on that too, since she heads the economic development and is in, you know, and they're responsible for the fair. So
great, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on now. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you all so much. And if I could speak for Hurley, thank you for all the stuff that you've been doing with Hurley. We really greatly appreciate your effort.
I want what Hurley's got. We've got pretty good in Jan Nagin already, but this is very.
Yes, thank you very much.
They're there a lot. We see this all the time.
Okay, moving on to resolutions. Resolutions for November 19th, 2024 legislative session. Resolution number 469, establishing a pilot program. Thank you very much. See you soon.
Bye.
Establishing a pilot program providing a 24-hour convenience recycling center in Ulster County. As we know, we've been discussing this for about 2 to 3 months. Is there any discussion or questions? Legislator Green.
Yeah, I had occasion to reach out to the sustainability coordinator for Hannaford Stores, and we've worked together on other projects. As a matter of fact, they were a presenter when the composting law was being discussed and ultimately passed and implemented. And they work with Clink, who takes all their bottles and cans and takes the plastic bags and all the things that Hannaford already does. Just wanted to float this idea by them. And they are very interested, and they're sending the resolution to Clink. We would still need to do an RFP if we're going to go. But what I wanted to hear from them is, this is a terrible idea. This is a feasible idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got the resolution and are going to be considering it and giving us feedback. By us, the other person on the call was Peter McKnight from Town of Hurley.
Great.
Because we were also talking about renewable energy and what role, because they have an extensive sustainability plan that has time and implementation schedule, and they're really working on it, and they're all over the Northeast. So I just wanted to let people know that we sent that feeler out, not with the intention that they would necessarily host it, but just to get feedback about the feasibility.
Do you know how to spell Clink for the record?
Yes, K-L-Y-N-K.
Thank you.
Okay.
Legislator Nolan.
C.
Is it C?
It's definitely not a C.
At the end?
Sure. Anyway.
No, I mean, is it a C at the end?
No, I think it's K-L-Y-N-K.
Perfect, thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that the sponsor of this resolution is able to be here. I really take from the presentation that we just saw about the event handling that it was necessary to have 100% staffing for that to work there. And I think that what we need for this work, which I support in principle, is we really need to work with the UCRRA on this. I think that the resolution calls for operating a 24-hour convenience that we could put out an RFP for operating. But what we actually need is the creation of the program. We need the design and the siting and the zoning approvals. Would all need to be built into this. And so I've been reluctant from the beginning on this because it seems to me like we got the idea and we put it out there and asked, you know, purchasing or somebody to come up with the RFP. So I think what I would recommend is for this resolution to be withdrawn and to form a group that would include the UCRRA and maybe Greenway, to look at the question of what needs to be in place to make this work someplace and really form what we need, which might be the RFP to do with that, you know, but we're giving whoever's writing the RFP more direction. For me, I can't support it until I have a little clearer idea of what it would be doing. And I'm very troubled about the notion of unstaffed sites. Given what we've seen and heard from how the best recovery of these materials works with 100% staffing. Those two are just at opposite ends of the spectrum, and they bringing in data to support that their concept works that way. I actually like the idea of some job creation that could be a part of this as well. And so I just feel like
moving to RFP at this stage, I don't even know what would go in the RFP.
Director Ryder?
Yeah, just to speak to the RA's involvement, I would not be comfortable getting a group together, having the agency involved. The sponsor has been very clear from the beginning of this resolution that this is not going to be a UCRA operated facility, nor would the RA want to operate a 24-hour facility. So I just, to speak to that piece, I don't think it would be beneficial for the agency to be involved in crafting the RFP. We have concerns, but it's not, the RA is, you know, I'm not here to speak on the resolution.
Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Legislators Nolan and Green, for your input. I do appreciate it. And I know this is a new concept, and it's maybe hard to follow or grasp, and maybe I don't grasp it either fully. And that's why I presented it to this committee way back in April as a concept. I gave photos and stuff. I gave you more photos today, the same ones I gave back in April. And I seen the idea when I was down in Florida, how you could pull up to this fenced-in area. I measured it out as 100 feet by about 145 feet. You don't need a lot of room. Manager talked to some Ann Hannaford. It's a great idea. And just sitting here talking about the Ulster County Fairgrounds, I mean, that would be a perfect spot for the first 24-hour convenience center, or you could do something like a talk to somebody at the Hudson Valley Mall. Perfect spot up there. They got a lot of empty parking lots that are not being used and probably never be used again with the malls closing down. Is this set in stone that the only way to do it is a private sector? I don't know if that's accurate or not. That's the way the resolution was written. I was hoping that I can get input from the committee and the experts about how we should go about it, if the RFP way is, do we need an RFP to do this? If we just pass it and like give it to the county executive, hey, this is our policy, get it done, figure out how to do it. You know, it's not my job how to figure it out. Here's our idea. Let's do this. It's a good idea. This is going to increase recycling without any effort at all. It's going to take an initial investment, probably about $200,000. You got five dumpsters or $15,000 apiece, fencing $50,000, maybe some blacktop on it, some lighting. It doesn't need to be staffed. You don't need a staff person sitting around watching a bunch of dumpsters all day. It just doesn't make sense. And this could be open at night. If you don't feel comfortable having it open at 1 o'clock in the morning, close the gates at 5 o'clock. But this is something people need to recycle when they can, not when it's convenient to town or resource recovery. You know, people, somebody cleaning out their garage on a Saturday, what are they going to do with the recycles? They're going to throw it in the garbage bin, or are they going to bring it to the 24-hour recycling center? Town of Plattekill has a recycling center open at limited hours. I'm sure most towns have the same problem. This is just an idea, concept, and, you know, and I think we should move forward on it in some aspect, either today or I'm willing to postpone it another month, but, you know, either this is a good idea or it's not.
I'll add that in the town of Rochester, there's illegal dumping sometimes outside of the gate when it's closed. People get frustrated and just leave it, and I believe they've added cameras since then. I think it's a good question. Will this increase recycling? That's the goal. Maybe it's outside the gates in the town of Rochester or other places so that we know. So that our residents know there's a camera, there's lights, it's a small space. These are all good suggestions. I might be a yes today, but Deputy Executive Lavelle has more to add.
I just want to reiterate some of these points and add a few more. I think that everyone can agree here that the increased recycling rates and having a hard look across kind of our system about, you know, what those interventions might be. And going back, you know, there have been various planning documents. We have a local solid waste management plan, but it doesn't mean we can't look for some other examples of how communities are working to do that, whether it's a Clink system or other systems. But I do think it's important to acknowledge and at the same time use some of the system that we have in place here. We have a resource recovery agency that was, you know, commissioned by the county to plan for and manage our solid waste and recycling. I think it's very ill-advised to then duplicate that effort and all of the things around that through the county government and away from UFRA. It's certainly the charge and mission, I know, of why UFRA was created. But looking hard at the municipal systems, you know, what might be an intervention to using some data and using some, you know, case studies, literature review, whatever it is, on what's the intervention to reduce those recycling rates. I think it is really important. We have to do it, but I think we have to be also realistic about not duplicating the effort of why we have UFRA. And also using the strengths of the system before we create another one in our system.
Thank you. Director Ryder?
So I will just share a couple of staff's concerns about a 24-hour recycling center, because I agree actually with Deputy Executive LaValle that we should not create this system outside of the agency. So when I said that, you know, we're not supportive of a 24-hour recycling center for a couple different reasons. One, if it's unstaffed, the contamination and the illegal dumping, which could include hazardous waste and other things, I think is too high of a risk. The other is that at our MRDCs and at some of the other private transfer stations, there have been fires in recent years that have resulted from things getting put into the containers and other things that had to go out, you know, in one of the private transfer stations, it almost destroyed the transfer station. But there are numerous examples of fires in these recycling containers, and if they're not being watched, it can result in devastation. And so that's my concerns. It's one of the reasons why the agency wouldn't really want to put together a 24-hour facility, but I understand the desire to not, you know, a different kind of scope.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, all of the transfer stations in Ulster County have staffing, and I think that represents, you know, a belief that the staff is necessary to help keep the quality of those materials high, which it is from there. We recovered. I am taken by the fact that you saw something happening somewhere else that seemed good and that we could benefit from that. So I'm wondering if maybe a next step might be to try to find who was running that facility in Florida, how they were doing it. It may be that they were collecting more trash, but not getting more recyclables. And collecting more trash in some areas of Ulster County might be of benefit. You know, we have our transfer stations in a distributed way, because without having some mechanism, people find other less desirable routes. So I'd like to incorporate the benefit of anything new that somebody's doing that would help, but I just feel like we don't have enough information about how well it works for what we need. I think 24-hour composting might be potentially valuable instead of 24-hour recycling. And the idea might be that you just have the containers and people would put the right things in the right containers. But I think there's zero data to support that. In fact, the data goes the other way. That if you put more than one container out and you're not really clear and you don't, this Hurley program's taking, you know, a full year of working with a consultant to get it working. So I think, you know, somewhere in between, we might be able to do, you know, expand what they have in Hurley, but I don't think we're ready to go to what you just saw in Florida, but that we don't have any information about.
Legislator Stewart?
I was wondering, Legislator Roberts, if maybe you've reached out to one of the municipalities, perhaps to, like, set up a trial project or something like that?
I haven't reached out to anybody but this committee on it, you know, and that's why I gave it to the experts to figure it out. But, you know, all this talk, too, and I keep forgetting that, you know, I'm an expert, too. I used to be chairman of the Resource Recovery, and when I was there, recycling actually, and Manager Joe could probably vouch for this, recycling actually went from 24% to 42%. Back in 2007 with the guidance of Legislator Petit and her education programs. So getting back a few things, one about the containers, self-combusting. You know, we had a battery storage facility you want to move in Plattekill. You guys know what that is, where they store electric and stuff. And all we heard was these things are going to self-combust. And how often does that happen, you know? If that's a reasoning, we'll never be able to store electric for future use. And I've never heard of recycling. Mark's in the business, recycling container just self-combusted because somebody put paint in it. I mean, people are put paint in their garbage cans and Lamella picks it up and crunches it and stuff. We can think of 1,000 excuses why not to go forward with this idea. We can Google this on there, and you get all the information you want on 24-hour recycling centers. And I have been to Nassau County down in Florida and talked to the recycling commissioner down there. And they think it's a great idea. It's actually worked, and that's why they're doing it. If it didn't work, they would stop it. You know, people aren't going to go in there and throw their garbage in a recycling bin. You can do that at home. Yeah.
Any additional questions?
Legislator Roberts, would you like us to call the question?
I would appreciate a vote.
Okay. Do I have a motion? I'll make the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a question?
I just want to be sure I know what I'm voting on.
Oh, sure. To advance this resolution as is. I made the motion. Legislator Stewart seconded.
To adopt.
Okay. Because I asked Legislator Roberts if he would like to change it or withdraw, and he would like us to call the question.
I do have a question before we finish the voting.
Yep.
Just to remind me, is there the intention for the county to initiate and bear the cost, or is as a pilot, would it be that an RFP would be developed and someone would take that responsibility both for implementing? And I should know this because I've read it multiple times, but I just want to be clear before I vote.
In my mind, it is, we're going to pass this, and the county executive can make necessary changes that she feels fit or their staff in order to get this done. And that could be including working with private sectors, working with municipalities, working with Resource Recovery Center. And if the idea of a 24-hour recycling center, you know, again, we could call it a 23-and-a-half-hour recycling center.
We have a motion and a second. Legislator Stewart, you have a question?
I had a question I wanted to address to Deputy Executive Laval. How do you see the County Executive's Office responding to this concept? I mean,
I think this is clearly why we have a resource recovery agency, is to both guide us and to be in dialogue with the county as far as what we think the needs are. This is not something County Public Works does. It's not anything that we're actively in. As far as a field, we don't operate recycling centers, staff them, plan for them, procure them, et cetera. So, again, I see this as clearly within the domain and charge of why the legislature created the Resource Recovery Agency.
Thank you.
Anything else before we vote?
Thank you.
Director Ryder.
So to that point, though, the agency, though, does not operate municipal recycling job centers. We don't operate 24-hour centers. We don't, I mean, we have a MRF, materials recovery facility, where those items are brought, separated out, and for sale. Residents do not come to the agency and drop off recyclables. Doesn't mean that it can't be something that we look in the future, but like that is not part of like what we do currently.
Deputy Executive LaValle.
The agency is responsible for local solid waste management planning, which includes recycling for Ulster County. So thinking about how the system operates with the municipalities and how that functions together in order to effectively deal with solid waste and to recycle is under the purview of the agency. So I think intervening, you know, it's operationally not something the County Public Works Department does, but also the planning of it is under the purview of the Resource Recovery Agency.
Thank you. Legislator Roberts, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you mind, Legislator Noel? You're on the committee.
Yeah, you can put me after this.
You got it.
Thank you. We just heard the Deputy County Executive and the Director of Resource Recovery point fingers at each other. That's why we need to take charge of this. Recycling, increase in recycling is too important to point fingers and say, no, it's not our job. No, it's their job. We need to take charge of this and figure out how to get it done. We want to divert as much waste as possible from going to Seneca Meadows or to go in a mini landfill that you guys are talking about.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I think the resolution as written would obligate the county to put out an RFP that we don't, that is not going to generate something that would increase recyclables with any degree of certainty. And if we did spend some money to hire somebody to do that, I don't see how this integrates with the system, and I don't see this as necessarily pointing fingers at each other, as just working this out. So the idea that this came as a resolution for this committee to either adopt or to either approve or not pass on is different than what I have wanted for the process of this committee, which is if somebody has a good idea, that they bring it to the committee as an idea, and we work on it together to say, how do we craft a resolution, a policy, whatever it is we're trying to accomplish, that will actually attain the end that we want? And I think you're talking about an RFP that could increase trash collection in Ulster County. But there's nothing here that, you know, and I did a quick search. There are some places around that do this. Let's bring their information here and find out how they do it and you know, use this body. I did not understand a resolution being submitted that goes through this committee as being an invitation to work together to create a system that works. A resolution is, I've already got an answer, and as I understand it, and this is not a well-formed answer. It's a well-formed idea that to increase recycling. We all agree about that, but I don't think it's in the Ulster County's Resource Recovery Agency's long-term planning. I don't think this comes from the Recycling Reform Committee. It comes kind of out of left field. And, you know, sometimes that can be good for idea generation, but it's rarely good for actually implementing and running a program. So I urge the committee to go ahead and vote this down, and then we can start a conversation.
Sure. Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, just like that, I did bring this forward as an idea in April or May. It sat here. I don't know if anybody talked about it. I then presented it as a resolution. There hasn't been, from what I understand, any positive movement on anything you just said, Kathy, going forward. You know, you keep talking about trash. It's nowhere, but it says here trash, and you can make up things as you go along, as you always do. But this is a good idea. It's going to increase recycling, 24-hour recycling center. County executives doesn't want to do it. Resource recovery doesn't want to do it. We should take the initiative and do it.
I think we're ready for a vote. Anyone else? Sure. Can you do a long roll? Legislator Stewart, did you have something to ask?
I was just going to say that, I mean, I think this is an interesting idea, and I could see voting in favor of it as a concept, but the problem that I'm seeing is that the people who would be in charge of implementation don't want to do it. So I think we have a kind of at loggerheads over that. I mean, I don't see how us passing the resolution, it's going to go anywhere. I mean, I've approached, you know, the body with resolutions in the past, and the county executive has decided that she didn't want to act on it, and nothing happens. And I'm afraid that's exactly what will happen here if we do that. I think for us to move forward with this idea, we really have to reach out to the Resource Recovery Agency and to the executive office and come up with a plan that's not instantly at loggerheads.
Director Wright. Through the chair of this committee, if I could just ask Legislator Roberts one question, is that down in Nassau County, Florida, how many town municipal recycling drop centers are there in operation other than this 24-hour one? Because here, there's 19 that all have varied hours, and it's the rare occasion that they're open 2 days. Many of them are open 4-5 days a week, many different hours that, yes, maybe not at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'd love to see how many people are out there in Nassau recycling at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just because something is a good idea doesn't mean it needs to be implemented unless it can be proven that it's going to increase recycling, which I don't know that it would.
I'm going to deflect that answer and answer for Legislator Roberts, because this came up in the past. It's a great point. And I told Legislator Roberts today that what I like most about this resolution is the robust conversations we've been having. So I'd like to call the question. Roll call, please.
Chair Hewitt?
No.
Legislator Donaldson?
No.
Legislator Green?
I think it's a really good idea to do a pilot, but I think it needs to be completely self-sufficient. So whoever, if there is a bid issued, that they take full responsibility for the cost and the contamination and the recycling and the waste. I'd love to see that need met, but I'm going to vote no, but I'm going to ask that we don't take it off the table, that perhaps it be when the Reuse Innovation Center is completed, that that might be a 24-hour drop-off experiment if somebody is willing to take the risks and the cost.
Legislator,
do you want me to comment after?
I think we're in the middle of roll call. Who's next?
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I think that this idea, as it is, could go to municipalities or a private source. And for the county's investment, the best way to get the executive and the agencies that we work with on board is to really present them with compelling data and compelling evidence that something's going to work. I've never had them turn me down when that is the situation. So I'm a no.
Legislator Stewart.
I was going to suggest to the sponsor that perhaps he approach one of the municipalities and see if this is something that they might take on as a pilot project on a short-term limited basis to see how things work. And then at least we would have some data that would be able to provide us with insights as to whether things are actually being recycled or people are just dumping stuff willy-nilly. I think it's an interesting idea, and I applaud Legislator Roberts for bringing this forward. I think it's, you know, kind of thinking outside the box. But I think it's just sort of problematic since we don't have the data and since the people who would be in charge of implementing the plan are against it from the get-go. So for that, for those reasons, I'm going to vote no.
Legislator Donaldson, did you want to add something?
Yeah, so I want to echo what Legislator Green and Legislator Stewart said. I supported this in the beginning when it first came in. It just seems like there is a lot of questions, and I agree with Legislator Green that we shouldn't just toss it out. Maybe we should just, now that we voted no, look at it again and try to redevelop it.
Great. Is that the final tally?
Mm-hmm.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
We won't leave committee, but we'll be talking soon. Legislator Roberts?
I want to thank everybody for talking about this and discussing it. I do appreciate it. I do have the option of bringing the petition to discharge to the floor. I won't do that if I have the committee's word that they will keep going, working on this in the future. Maybe we could figure out how to get something similar, if not this, done.
Great. I'd love to work with you on that. Legislator Noel?
Maybe we could ask the resource, Recycling Reform Committee to reach out to the transfer stations, 19 in Ulster County, and ask them what their hours are, collect all that, and ask them what they think of having expanded hours and what would happen if they had unstaffed expanded hours. That would be a first step.
Was that the ROC you just mentioned, the Oversight Committee? Or
the Recycling Oversight Committee. Oversight Committee. I had the wrong name for it.
I mean, we have the hours on the agency website of every transfer station, every MRDC.
So that'll be easy to collect.
It'll be easy for them to collect.
And each of them is staffed, so there'd be a staff person or somebody that staff person could recommend to us that we could talk with about, you know, hours and what expanded hours might mean.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Legislator.
Could we perhaps add this to that committee's agenda?
I'll do that. So we'll make that call tomorrow. Thank you, Legislator Stewart.
I think he missed it, but
I'll tell him.
Okay.
Resolution. Moving on to resolution number 470, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2024, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 205, Food Service, Article 2, use of disposable polystyrene foam to include polypropylene plastic, to be held on Tuesday, December 17th, 2024, at 6 p.m. I'm going to recommend that we take no action on this, as I work with Director Ryder on the actual scientific term for 5 and 6 plastics, because we had a conversation today that polypropylene may be off base.
Well, that's for 5s, but okay. The clamshells are the PETs, the poly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all.
PETs.
Okay.
So, and those are number 1. But polypropylene is 5. 5.
Thank you. But I do need to improve it, and the Recycling Oversight Committee gave a thumbs up. They really like what we're trying to accomplish, and they were actually recommending the word pigmented to address the black plastic issue, because there's also white plastic. The more dyes we add to a plastic, the less recyclable it becomes. So I appreciate Director Ryder mentioning that polypropylene is actually recyclable, and I might be off target on this. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I think that thank you for heading in that direction. And I think if we can look at pigmented plastics, there's even the suggestion of all plastics. What I think we need to really focus on is the research on the alternatives and maybe do some outreach to this industry. I'm very uncomfortable further regulating in this industry without that outreach of, you know, what it would do to have various kinds of regulation come in, and how they feel about alternatives, not just price, but in terms of customer satisfaction. If we, or when we do get ready to move forward on this, we'll need to have a seeker review of this. And I was part of the seeker review of the plastic bag law, and we had to do an extensive finding statement of benefit because the industry was going to come after us if we passed that law. And we didn't have a binding statement that would be just, you know, justifying having taken action and serve us well in court.
I think it, this resolution as written, and certainly if it becomes more expansive, we should be aware of that and be prepared to have a very detailed finding statement of benefits, alternatives, whether or not the agency needs to change its recycling equipment based on what we want to accomplish, or if changes in recycling equipment could allow us to go certain directions, and whether the county might be in a position to serve for some aid in bulk purchases that might serve this industry. If the alternatives cost the same or less as what they're using, I think the industry will change, because we have a lot of restaurants in Ulster County that have made this change, even though their costs have gone up.
Yep.
So I would like to think about, outside the simple question of what can we regulate next, how can we make the changes that get this to get plastic out of our county, out of people's homes, and don't hurt this industry, especially if they are, like many of the industries in Ulster County, still not fully recovered from COVID.
Yes, I've been in conversation with Deputy Executive LaValle about a products list like that, something that would be recommended, like the Greenway list during Garlic Festival, that won't hit for food service further in the pocketbook, because they're already stretched really thin right now. And I think what we've talked about so far is the county can't do that bulk purchase, but they could contract with the nonprofit that does it. So I don't think we're quite ready for this law, and I want to keep making progress on getting ready for it.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I had a question relating to what Legislator Nolan just said. So, I'm sorry, the SECRA, when would the SECRA review be required?
At the point where we would pass the local law.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was going to say, is it looking only at environmental impact, or is it also financial impact on the industry?
It's environmental, and included within that we did for plastic bags was health. And you can probably pull in some economic language because SECRA is expansive. New York State allows for broad consideration of the impacts.
Great.
I mean, I would just say the impact of microplastics on
the environment. Right. How do we quantify that?
A long way in.
For the future generations, too. Oh, good.
Flotation.
Yeah.
And if you're talking it does not break down in the same way in the human body. And so that's why it's been used. It's the least toxic for humans of the numbered plastics. So if we're including polypropylene, we have a much harder time with that benefit statement, weighing the benefits versus the impacts. If we remove polypropylene from the discussion, we're just talking pigment, we're talking black plastics, we're talking some of these other things, then we've got a much easier time, because those microplastics are probably endocrine disruptive compounds and are hurting people as we talk.
And one original intention is to get some of the plastics that are garbage to be in garbage and recyclable to be in recyclable. Pigmented is easily identifiable. So maybe this adjustment is pigmented. We'll talk more about it. Anything else?
So the bottom line is we'll be referring this to recycling over
time. It was referred already, and they're in favor of it, mostly in favor of our intention. The long and short is no action tonight.
I did just say one word about the letter. The letter did not address at all my concerns that this is the best alternative for protecting people's health. It didn't have to look at that. But
okay. Thank you.
It would be good to somehow get that information to them. I don't want to be the carrier of it. But I will if there's...
I went to their meeting last week, so I don't mind sharing it with Aaron and Laura. Okay. Good. Okay, moving on to resolution 564, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute. Did I miss one?
Did we do the
voting?
The motion?
It's no action.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's not moving, it's no action.
Well, it's a, on 5647.
No, I didn't finish, but we'll finish reading 564. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Town of Marlborough for installation of solar panels at the Town of Marlborough Community Center, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
I'll make the motion or I'll second Legislator King's motion.
Great.
Motion and Dylan second.
Any discussion, questions?
Great idea. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion to adopt. We already did that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Resolution passes unanimously. Resolution 5.
Question on that. Is that the same as the solar EV infrastructure? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Resolution number 565.
Most of the others early.
Yes.
Resolution 565, authorizing a permanent easement to Lorpak Willow Park, LLC, for the limited purpose of permitting underground access to an electric pole for an electric vehicle charging station in the City of Kingston, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a second?
I'll second her.
Molly and Stuart. Any discussion or questions? Motion to all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second? Minutes? Oppose? Abstain. Okay, that's resolutions. We'll move on to reports. Thank you, Director Ryder, for coming. Can we have an UPRA update, please?
Yeah, I'll try to make it real.
We actually don't have a meeting after this, so I can pretend.
Not until 6.
Let's pretend.
Got it. All right. So budget that was proposed passed by board in October. So starting January 1st, the tipping fee will be set at $135 per ton. We did increase the fee to dispose of mattresses from $5 to $10. That should offset the cost of when we do eventually get our mattress recycling current modification from the BUC, offset the cost that we set there. So for an extra $5 a mattress, which will be recycled. And so, and we're increasing the cost of our finished compost from $30 a ton to $40 a ton. So that's not food waste in, that's sale of compost. So you can meet the market. We extended our e-waste recycling, this year to November 23rd. It was originally going to be the last weekend in October. So e-waste Saturdays go through November 23rd. We will then have a couple dates after the holidays, and then we'll be done until April. It picks back up again until April to November. We're in the process of building out a planning document for the Reuse Innovation Center. That planning document will be used for the agency to apply for $5 million Swiffer grant, which is solid waste infrastructure for recycling. I think I've talked to this committee about this plan in the past, but plan is for that to pick up a bulk of the capital cost if we're lucky enough to get a grant. So we're building out the business plan in order to, you have to build out the business plan and then apply to grant. So we want to move it forward regardless of the grant funding, but understanding that. With the funding, it's going to have to come from somewhere. So that's kind of the first step. And then also looking at our long range planning if we're not lucky enough to get the grant. We do right now in front of the board have a 5-year capital project plan that they're reviewing and looking to approve. We do a 5-year plan every year, but typically it's more repair and maintenance. And I put forward a document similar to the county's kind of capital project plan. It has 9 projects on it. The board's reviewing it. As soon as it passes the board, I'll send it over to this committee.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart?
The $5 million grant you referred to.
Yeah.
What was that for again? I'm sorry.
The reuse innovation
center. For the reuse innovation center. Okay, thank you.
We would use it for.
Is that for construction?
It's for construction, any capital costs, which would also include the spoken hub system. So it would be construction for the hub. It would also be equipment and you know, sheds and other type of things for the MRDCs to be collection point for phase one.
Legislator Green?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for moving that forward. It's been a while, but it's good to know, and hopefully we will get grant funding. What was the next thing? I'm sorry.
I just talked about the capital project plan.
Yes.
The 5-year capital
project. Does that include potential landfill sites?
Because the vast majority of spending.
One other miscellaneous thing is there anything to do with pill bottles? People have mountains of pill bottles that they've collected and don't want to throw away. Can they be recycled?
I believe so. I would check their hauler because, again, I'm assuming that most people you're talking to are the haulers. I'll get back to you on whether they're accepted at the MRDCs, which come to us.
Okay.
I don't recall.
I just get that question a lot.
That the haulers are accepted.
Well, something all pigmented plastic.
Legislator.
I just had a question for Director Ryder. Mm-hmm. Since, you know, the holidays are approaching, I was wondering how does the agency deal with the added waste for, like, Christmas wrapping and also Christmas trees?
Yeah, so we would accept Christmas trees into the facility, but it would be that $40 that it costs for yard waste.
$40
a ton with the $20 minimum. So if you were going to bring in a Christmas tree, it would cost you $20. I know some of the MRDCs might have a different one. We take that wood and chip it and use it on our compost operation. Mm. But all yard waste, we charge $40 a ton for. We can't really do anything with, like, pumpkins and things like that right now because, well, for one, we don't accept really residential food waste unless you're talking about the city of Kingston, but we have other, you know, customers that are commercial customers. But right now, one of kind of the next updates I'm giving is we're still waiting on a permit modification from the DEC to go from 5,000 tons of food waste to 7,500. We put in that application in February. We're still waiting for just some of the simpler documents like the enhanced public participation plan, which is required by the CLCPA to be approved, which then kind of starts a 30-day plus process. I would imagine we're not going to get that permit modification this year, which means at some point we'll have to totally shut down our operations or we've already basically cut off the flow to, like, organics, our biggest customer, but we're at 4,900 as of Friday. So we're at 4,900 of our 5,000 ton permitted capacity. We get about 25 tons a week. Once we hit 4,950, we're cutting everybody off except for the city of Kingston and Ulster County. So that's probably in 2 weeks.
And then you just turn them away?
We have to turn everybody away. So we'll turn Royal away. We'll turn others away.
And then what happens to those people when they get turned away? I mean, to those companies?
I will refer them to, like, Greenways or Community Compost if they can. As you heard, they charge about twice as much as the agency, so that'll have to be a decision. But this is, like, I think Royal picks up from the Omega Institute and a few others. So that'll impact those businesses. But, again, like, we've been told by the DEC that we will get violated for any time that we go over our permit. So,
Legislator Green?
I think that we ought to send a letter on behalf of the legislature to Kelly Turturro. We met and they were very, helpful, and they're going to do the best they can and all of that. Mostly the discussion was about what the agency has to do for landfill siting. But this is ridiculous. There's no excuse, especially because it puts the agency in a position that they have to turn people away for a system. And we knew that when the composting law was passed that the facility would have to be expanded to 10,000 tons. And this is halfway there. I don't think we should ignore this and just feel sorry for the DEC because they're understaffed. I know that. But to me, this is unacceptable. And I wonder if we can draft a sign-on letter. Is that?
Give a response. Is there something in motion already to request a larger limit?
There is not any, other than me having regular contact asking for a status update.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I would copy the DEC's Catskill Park coordinator, McCray Burnham, and say that this is Ulster County as being a leader, and it could set a precedent for other Catskill communities. I mean, I'm not sure at what level you're talking, but I would get the regional director involved, and I would bump this up the chain.
I have conversations with the regional.
Okay.
Would
let's add some muscle.
Okay.
So are you saying you want to check before we move on?
No,
something for us.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll do that together.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Director Ryder, would you like to continue?
Recycling compliance officer has been very active. As you all know, I think many of you know, we hired someone 2 to 3 months ago. We're documenting some recycling violations with 2 different haulers and building a case to bring to the administrative hearing officer. So that should be at the beginning of next year to start bringing that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through the permit application. So happy to answer questions, but that's my update.
Great. I had a question about the Upper Reform Committee recommendation about a larger board. Do you know if any legislator is working on a resolution on that?
I believe that I served on the committee and Comptroller Gallagher did, and we've both been in touch with Vicki to, take the previous expansion and update it to coincide with the recommendations from the Reform Committee.
Okay, great.
So, as far as I know, it's in the works. I've sent a couple of reminders and I haven't heard back.
Thank you. Okay, moving on from that report to the Recycling Oversight Committee response to the Reuse Innovation Center plan. I just wanted to highlight it and mention it quickly that the ROC weighed in. They think it's a great plan. They agree with the hub and spoke approach. It was mostly a letter of agreement, and I wanted to mention that. I also attended the IDA meeting last week on sustainability, and I came because of that's a buzzword that our committee focuses on, but sustainability can mean many things, and I think they were focused on sustainability of jobs in our region. But I continued to bring up industrial hemp and how if our IDA and our Economic Development Department are focused on cottage industry and main streets, we can change our view on what's going to be the future of our economy. So I was there to talk about cottage industry and main street the whole time. Just wanted to let you all know I was there. Legislator Green?
when she was active in the legislature, Legislator Petit and I went and did speak with the IGA, this is going back year and a half, 2 years, and they were going to reprioritize their ranking system for if somebody wanted to come in and do any project from solar to waste to anything that would promote sustainability and address climate solutions. And I'm not sure how far that got.
Right.
But there was definite positive reception to that. So I guess it's probably my responsibility to follow up, but I'm wondering if that's something we can look at is how they are ranking. Basically, to be able to attract solar developers or, composting businesses or whatever makes sense. But if there is a business that where the outcome would be to reduce greenhouse gases, to improve any of, renewable energy generation or any of these other sustainability practices, that they would be more likely to either get funding or a pilot or whatever they were seeking.
Yep.
So it might be good if you're in communication to try to follow up.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought it up. Our Director Hillary Nichols mentioned that they're doing that. They're focused on carbon footprint, environmental impact, localism, and so they have a ranking system. I have a meeting soon with Hillary. I'll make sure I reiterate that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. Would you like to talk about 70 by 30 at all, Manager Jill?
Just really, we are about to kick off a fall solar mapping tool training. It's a small group, but I think it's still worthwhile. And if anyone can still get the word out, we're not actually starting the training until November 13th, but on the 6th, we have a watch party, which is to watch for videos that Scenic Hudson produced that is an introduction. People can do that on their own anytime, and then we will start on the 13th and go through December 11th once a week, skipping Thanksgiving. And we are also working on a pledge that's in development. It's basically taking the mission statement for that organization or working group and putting it into a pledge to ask each of the municipalities to say that they will maximize renewable energy implementation. And then we're actually having very productive meetings with Central Hudson. And this has nothing to do with rates and, well, I won't say nothing, but it's focused on getting Central Hudson to communicate well and ahead of time before they publish their distributed system implementation plan, which they update every 2 years, which says how are they going to improve the grid to accept renewables and storage and so forth. So that is going really well, and I believe we'll probably be focusing on a corridor as an experiment. We want to look at one municipality and how Central Hudson and the municipality can work together. And there's a corridor between New Paltz High School and the landfill that has a lot of projects, including the Government Operations Center. So that interaction is active and includes the town and Central Hudson and our team. So I feel like we're making progress slowly but surely, but I will feel much better when we get past planning and conversation and we actually see implementation. So not just saying that for the executive branch, you know, for this committee as well, when we actually start seeing the implementation, and the executive branch is seeing implementation, but we want to see it on the ground in the municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any new business?
I have one thing that I would ask the committee just to discuss briefly. Resolution 507, which is in the Public Works Committee committee tonight, deals with hemp research transitioning money from the parks director, which was not expended in 2024, into hemp research. And because we talked about hemp research so much in this committee, I thought I'd bring it up here and just say that I'm hoping that we can basically step back from that resolution, given that we're at the end of the year and have some potential for some, I think, forward-looking conversations about what to do with parks in relationship to other changes that are happening in some of the other committees. And so I think that the things that maybe we ought to have a conversation in it, maybe new business or old business is the time to do it. Maybe there's some other format where we talk about how the county is moving forward with various innovations, you know, related to IDA and some of these things we were just talking about, and how we are doing it and whether we're doing everything we can do so that these resolutions around this kind of, you know, bringing forward hemp or something else that somebody else might propose, that they do the most good.
I'm pretty sure, I appreciate you bringing it to this committee as a topic because the goal
to be Chair Hewitt.
Yes, and the goal is to lower our carbon footprint, carbon sequestration, economic development, agriculture. And it feels that all of the agencies don't have the funding to make progress on it right now. So I'm trying to move money where I know it exists to economic development, so that they can have some money to bring experts in to make a plan. There's no real plan right now in the county. We know we like industrial hemp, but what's the plan? And I've been told there's a plan, but I haven't seen the plan. So this $35,000 could start laying a foundation for a plan, which is multi-year, multi-phase, who's doing what. And so the $35,000 will be to maybe do an RFP for someone to do a little bit of research. In the way it's written is I'm asking them to come up with a plan within 2 months.
So the deputy executive wants to get in, but I would say that from what you just said, that maybe we should have somebody from the EDA come and talk to us about what they are doing in terms of their plans.
Yeah.
I would also, it's just more of a technical point, but this is for consideration for November, for the 19th of November. How we operate is that we must not only encumber funds to roll them, but you have to expend them.
The end of December.
By the end of December. Okay. So from kind of even a purely technical side, it's not possible to actually spend the money there.
Because we have to put out an RFP and that would take time.
Oh, okay. Yes. And you have to contract and you have to have work done. So this is not something that could be at all accomplished in 2024 because the money for it.
I'll ask a half rhetorical question and you can answer the other half.
Does that mean our government becomes dysfunctional for 2 months, November and December?
No, it's just that everything has to be done on a time horizon that understands the end of the budget year. November is not the time for new initiatives.
Gotcha.
If I can put it that way.
Thank you.
But there's someone else say that we become otherly functional.
Otherly functional.
But the, you know, to that point, I think that the one nice thing that happens as we are stepping back from introducing new things, you know, trying to get them in by the end of the year, is that it can provide that spaciousness that as we come into the new year, I think there's some, you know, maybe we decide that we want to put this exact review forward in January, February 2025.
Mm-hmm.
But we might want to do something slightly different if we use that time to have some of those conversations about how, what's needed in order to get this particular initiative going forward and other innovative initiatives.
Yeah, nice. Legislator Stewart? Did I see your hand?
Okay. No,
yeah. Great, thank you. Anyone else? New business? Old business? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
All right. It looks like Joe beat you. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine, Joe.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm.